Good morning, everyone. Trust and pray you're doing well on a beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is shining and the heat's pumping. And for all those who are cold-natured, it's your kind of day. Amen? Amen? For all of us that are hot-natured, just stand by. It'll change shortly. Then it'll be nice and cool. But we're glad that you're here with us today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Look at somebody around you. Give them a wave and a real smile. Listen, I know that sometimes we walk into the house of the Lord, and when we do so, our hearts are heavy and we're burdened. But man, does it not make your day, you know, to see somebody with a real, real smile on their face and a genuine, hey, I'm glad you're here. You know, that's one of the things that we said that every one of us enjoyed about Miss Frances when she was with us for all those years, is that she was just so welcoming. With a smile, with a hug, and whatever it was. And just to let you know as well, that the flowers today here are in memory of Miss Frances Young, who went on to be with the Lord. She is having, I don't want to say her first worship service. She's already had a bunch of those, but she has moved on to the great worship service, and she's just waiting on us. She's going to be looking for us to cross the river and be there with her. But do keep Carl and the Young family in your prayers as they go through the difficult times in us losing Miss Frances. We lost her, but heaven gained her, and that is a glorious privilege. By the way, if you're part of our online audience, please say hello to Dr. John Cazito today. Dr. Cazito monitors our online family, and you know, you can always just give him a hard time for us. Keep him working. He's kind of in the back of our sanctuary. If you have any questions that needs some answers, you can ask Dr. John. He can let us know or answer him himself if he's able to. But at any rate, we're glad that you're with us today as part of our online audience. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful and so thankful that we have this opportunity and that we have these moments to be able to gather together. Lord, help us to never take those for granted. Lord, we think about people all over the world today who they're meeting, but they're doing so in danger of their lives or in danger of persecution that's beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And yet we have the opportunity to come freely together, to love one another, Lord, to be the family of God, not just come to church, Lord, but to be the church. So, Father, I want to thank you for those today that have gathered to do so. Lord, I pray that they will be blessed beyond all measure. Lord, that they will hear you, and that in everything that is said and everything that is done and in every aspect of what we do, it will truly honor, glorify, and magnify you. So, Lord, be with us as we go through this time with you, that you and you alone truly would be exalted. Speak to each and every one of our lives through your word and through song and every other method, Lord, that you so desire. And give us clarity. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. That's what we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. David, he's going to come lead us. And I know you haven't seen Brad up here, but Brad had a COVID exposure last week. And he and Lachelle are doing everything they can to make sure that they protect us. So far, they haven't shown signs or symptoms, but it was in that window. So we know that they're watching. Good morning, Brad and Lachelle. We miss you being with us, but we're going to travel on. We're praying for you.
For selecting my favorite hymn this morning so that I get to direct my favorite hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth stanzas. Would you stand, please, as we sing? I stand.
Thank you.
seated, please. Sing a praise song to him in light of all of that. It's hymn number 249, Glorify Thy Name. We're going to sing all three stanzas. I want to ask you to stand once more, would you please, as we sing.
We worship.
praises to our Father. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to actually be looking at the passages of Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. Now, how many of you today can come and say, I am self-admitted a stubborn person? Come on. Yeah, stubborn person. We can be that way. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of us really like to have our way? Oh, boy. We like having things done our way. Now, let me take it a step further. How many of us this morning not only like to have our way, we will do what needs to be done for us to get our way? Okay? Yeah, there we go. These are my people. I get you. Well, today we want to look at a fella, and he's no surprise to most of us. In fact, he's no surprise to many folks who aren't regular church attenders, because somewhere along the way, you have heard this particular story. You have heard the story of Jonah and the big fish. Now, I'm not going to concentrate on the first part of that. I'm just going to give background for those who may not know or may not have ever heard the story of Jonah and the big fish. But the bottom line was, God decided that Nineveh, this place called Nineveh, was worth saving. You know why? Because it had people in it. I believe the scripture eventually tells us there was about 120,000 people there. About 120,000 people who were going their own way, doing their own thing, who desperately needed the witness of the Father. Desperately needed that. And so what happens is God decides that he is going to send one of his A-team guys, Jonah, to Nineveh. Now, if you're familiar with the passage, one of the things that you're going to understand is, although Jonah might have been God's A-team guy, and he might have been a number one round draft choice as a selection, the problem was Jonah had a prejudice against the Ninevites. He couldn't stand them. I mean, I'm talking about it throughout the Bible. I mean, this is really a more vehement thing than I've seen in many, many places about what Jonah's attitude towards the Ninevites were. Now we understand that as this passage begins, God goes to Jonah and he tells him, I want you to go into Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to preach to them. As you look at that, you basically see Jonah sitting there going, You don't see where he disagreed with God. You don't see where he had any argument with God at that point. Now, I've asked some of my stubborn people, and we're all in this together today, how many times have my stubborn people been talking to somebody, and somebody is saying, well, here's what I need you to do, and I need you to do it this way, and you've been going, but had zero intention on doing it that way. Come on. You're just like, Yeah. I got you. Right on. I hear you. But that's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it that way. Remember, I asked you before, too, well, how many of you were stubborn along the way with that? And so Jonah, it all looks really good, man. It looks like it's off to a great start. God's saying, I want you to go down to Nineveh, that great city. I want you to preach to the people. And Jonah's going, okay, all right, no problem. And then when he leaves, we know that the scripture tells us that not only did he not go to Nineveh, he went in the opposite direction. Yes, I call him, I said before that Jonah must have been Baptist, because Baptists will lie to you. Yeah, God, I'll do that, and then don't do it. I've said before, you talk to them people, hey, man, I've been missing you in church. Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. That was 20 years ago. They ain't been here yet. Jonah, it doesn't say that he disagreed with God. It doesn't say that he argued with God. But what it does tell us is that he did not do what God commanded him to do. He went in the exact opposite direction. Now, some of you all have had kids just like you. Stubborn, somewhat hard-headed, and to coin a Bible phrase, a stiff-necked child. And you know what I'm talking about here. They're like Jonah. They're not going to argue with you. They might go, and then they just go do it their own way. Well, you had to jerk a knot in their head, didn't you? You're like, no, that's not the way it works. Well, Jonah goes in the opposite direction. God says, he's not going the way I sent him. So I'm going to help him get to where he needs to be. How many of y'all have ever been helped by God to get where you needed to be? Yeah, God decided to help him, and he helped him by putting him, he's going the wrong way on a ship. A big storm blows up, and everybody's sitting there going, we're going to die. And the only person that doesn't seem to be fretting what's going on is Jonah. He's sitting there like, well, that's suspicious right away. Finally, the guys come up and say, listen, what's the matter with you? Don't you care? We're going to die. You need to be praying to your God. Now, listen, through this whole thing, Jonah never stated he didn't love God, did he? This is important. He never turned his back necessarily on God in his life. And we realize that because what happens is these guys on the ship finally come up and they're saying, look, man, what is the deal? And Jonah's like, okay, he says, throw me overboard. They're like, no, we can't do that. We're not going to do that to you. I mean, come on, dude. So finally, they did the casting lots and everything else, and the lot fell on Jonah, and they're sitting there thinking, Jonah says, y'all got to throw me overboard. So they finally throw him overboard. And as soon as they did, the storm went away. I'm thinking that those guys on the ship said, hey, we made the right call on that one. So Jonah's out in the ocean now, gets swallowed by this gigantic fish whole, and he's hanging around in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. Now, I want you to insert yourself into the life of Jonah for just a minute. How would you like to be riding around in the ocean in a fish's belly for 3 days? I mean, imagine what it looked like. Imagine what it smelt like. Just imagine you're sitting there going, well, this is a fine predicament to be in. And in the midst of the belly of this whale, Jonah and God have a come to God meeting. And he begins to say all these wonderful things about God. Remember, at this point, he hasn't like turned his back on God or anything. He still thinks God's wonderful. He still thinks God is God. And all the while in this 3-day journey, this fish is carrying him to, guess where? Nineveh. Where God wanted him to be. Rolls up on I'm trying to picture this in my mind. Hollywood should make a movie about this and not take liberties, because you don't have to. Sometimes truth is better than fiction. This fish rolls up and goes, and here's Jonah. Imagine you're watching this. I mean, I know how most of us are. We can see something going on, and we're like, I mean, can you imagine a fish rolls up on the beach, regurgitates, that's a nice way to say it, and here's a man. And he's finally starting to get where God wanted him to be. And he goes in to Nineveh. Remember, he cannot stand these people with a vehement hatred, with a vehement prejudice. Now, I want you to imagine for just a moment that I couldn't stand you all. Now, that's fiction, because I love y'all. But I want you to imagine for just a moment that I hated you all with a passion, and I had to come here today to preach the gospel. Do you think you're going to get my best message? How do you think that's going to roll? You know, because all the while I'm sitting here going, Jesus saves, God loves you. Y'all repent, I'm out. Some of y'all go, well, that's the quickest sermon I ever heard. So Jonah goes in there. Jonah does what it is that God has told him to do. He is obedient to do it. Probably didn't do his best job, but then an amazingly incredible thing happened. All of them repented. Now, again, I'm going to kind of wrap it around to you and I today. Remember, let's just say once again that I didn't like any of y'all and I had to come here and preach. And at the invitation, everybody who was present got saved. Everybody who was online gave their life to Jesus today. What kind of attitude do you think I would have? Or what kind of attitude do you think I should have? That, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. God used me today, and he saved all these people. Thanks be to God, because it's not about me. It's about him. Is that what Jonah did? Jonah got mad. Remember, the whole town, 120 people, repented. Now, I want us to pick it up over in chapter 4 because that's what kind of brings around the story of what's going on. So look with me, if you would, Jonah chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. Now, if that scared you, there's only like 11 verses, so just hang in there. It says this, Jonah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, said, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly." Boy, there's a good way to start off. "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" Now, I got to stop right there for just a moment because I've got to get you this picture. What happens is Jonah becomes angry. Remember, he hated these people so bad. He got mad at God because everybody repented. And what he does, he even says this to God. That verse 2 is pretty interesting. He said, I can imagine it more being like this. "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled to Tarshish." Now he's given the reason. He said, "I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew that you would be faithful, that you would be loving, that you would be kind. I knew that you would save these people, and I didn't want that." Now, it doesn't say right there that he actually said, "I don't want that," but that is exactly what he meant. He said, "I don't want you to save these people. I don't like them. They are different than me." And by the way, this was a deep, deep-seated prejudice. When you get up in God's face over something, that is a deep prejudice. He said, "I didn't want to do it, Lord, because I knew exactly what you were going to do. I knew that you were going to save these people, and I don't want you to save them. I want them to go to hell." That sounds like a terrible attitude, doesn't it? Particularly for a servant of God. Now, I'm going to make a real hard parallel here. Sometimes that's what we do. We want God's love. We want God's grace. We want God's blessing. That's exactly what Jonah wanted in the belly of that whale, wasn't it? But we don't want somebody else to have it because we don't like them. They don't do it our way. They don't do it the way we want them to do it. Or I just don't like them. Now, again, we've been being honest with each other in here today. How many of y'all have ever just looked at somebody and before you ever knew anything about them, you said, "I don't like them"? Hallelujah. Like I said, confession's good for the soul. You just didn't like them. You didn't like the way they looked. You didn't like the way they combed their hair. You didn't like the way they talked or what have you. When you start off on that foot, you are on your way not to Nineveh, but to Tarshish. Plain and simple. "Lord," verse 2, was not this what I said? It's just like I said it was going to be when I was still in my country. "Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know," did you get this? "I know, I don't think, I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Boy, he just listed a great bunch of character qualities of God Almighty, didn't he? And you know what Jonah's really saying? I don't want you to show those qualities on these people. I don't want you to love them. I don't want you to be kind to them. I don't want you to be long-suffering toward them. I don't want you to be merciful to them because I don't like them. That's brazen, isn't it? Very brazen. So he goes on in verse 3 and he says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. Have you ever felt so deeply about something that that's the way you are going to back your position no matter what? Even if it was a wrong position, you were going to stay in that position. You were going to back that position. And you know what Jonah's saying here? Jonah said, all these characteristics and qualities, God, are perfectly you. But thing about it is, I would rather you kill me. I would rather die than live than to watch this take place. Now tell me that's not a hatred for the people of Nineveh. He had a deep-seated hatred, and because of what God did, it became a deep-seated anger. Have you ever been angry with God? Now, I think most of us in this room can sit back and go, yeah, I've been angry with God before. I've been mad at him. You know, Jonah is mad. He is angry at God for doing something good. And then the Lord said, verse 4, the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? God says this to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? I kind of see this like father-son conversation taking place. And the dad saying, do you really have a right to be angry over what has taken place? So what does Jonah do? Verse 5 tells us, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He still hasn't given up yet. He's still sitting there thinking, maybe God will just wipe them all out. Maybe I can sit here and watch this. Maybe there's still hope that God will come around to my way of thinking, that God will do it my way. So he's going out there to watch, because remember, there was a time frame that was given. Y'all repent, or this is what's going to happen. That was the message that God used Jonah to deliver to the Ninevites. 40 days, if not, this is it. So he's going out to watch. Jonah knows what's going on. He knows they've repented, but he's still holding on to the fact that he wants God to kill them and kill them all. Now, is that a good attitude? Now, I'm asking that as a question that deserves an answer. Is that a good attitude? Is it the right attitude? No. It's so easy for us to see that when we're looking at somebody else, but it's extremely difficult for us to see that when we're evaluating our lives, is it not? Jonah went out of the city, sits on the east side. He's waiting to see what God's going to do. Verse 6 says, and the Lord prepared a plant, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. We're talking about hot. If you think it's hot now, they didn't have air conditioning back then. A shady place was nice. At that particular point, Jonah didn't even have a shady place. So the Lord, in his kindness and his graciousness, has this plant grow up quickly, overnight. It was supernatural to provide shade for Jonah. And he's sitting there going, oh man, this is great. You ever been working out in the field? I know some of y'all worked out in the field. Some of y'all grew up in the era without air conditioning, just like I did. And you know what it was like to be hot, and then you'd get under that shade tree, and it felt like it was 50 degrees cooler under that shade tree. Maybe a little breeze would blow by. And you'd be like, oh, this feels so good. So Jonah is getting a little bit of comfort, all right? It says in the latter part of verse 6, he was very grateful for the plant. Then verse 7 says, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Now notice, God is preparing all this. God prepared the plant, but God also prepared the worm. Verse 7, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. I picture Jonah being the guy sitting there like the one on Hee Haw, remember? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. He's grateful for the plant. Now the plant's gone. Have you ever been that way in your life? You're sitting there in the middle of just stuff that doesn't seem to be going right, and there's this little ray of hope. Just for a moment, you're like, yeah, and then it gets dashed immediately, and you're back to where you were. Verse 8, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. This is the second time that Jonah has said he would rather die than live. All because God used him to bring about salvation to a whole city of 120,000 people that Jonah hated. You're sitting there looking at that, probably like I am, going, that just doesn't make a whole lot of good sense, does it? Then God said to Jonah, see, now God's teaching Jonah some lessons along the way. And if you're in the middle of this, let me make you a promise that God is teaching you some lessons if you'll just look for them. Verse 9 says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Think about it for a moment. That's what God asked him. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? What's Jonah's attitude? The latter part of verse 9 says, and he said, it is right for me to be angry, even unto death. Woo-wee. How many of you all had kids that just described? Do you think that's nice? Yes, it is nice. How many of you all have been that person? Come on now. All of a sudden, y'all not as honest as you were before. Yeah, because see, when you think about it in that term, all of a sudden it becomes real. God says to you, is it really right for you to have that attitude? And you go, yes, it is right for me to have that attitude. And it's not. You see, I've done that before with people. When people have had a tiff with one another. And I can still remember, you know, one instance where, you know, there's this one that wanted a pound of flesh. That's what they really wanted. And ironically enough, they were not even seeing that that was what was going on. So and I said to them, I said, okay, let me ask you this question then. What does resolution look like to you in this situation? And they said, I said, no, here's what's happening. What you want is you want these people drawn and quartered, or you want them hung by the neck until dead, 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 on display for the whole world to see. And the problem is, you know that's not Christian. You know that's not right. But when it gets ready to come out of your mouth, it's a different story, because you can't say it. You know it's wrong. It came out of Jonah's mouth, didn't it? Jonah, do you really have the right to be angry over the plant? Look at it again, verse 9. What does it say? And he said, this is Jonah, and he said, it is right for me to be angry even unto death. You talk about stubborn. You talk about a bad disposition. And now he's kind of getting in the face of God. That's dangerous. So the Lord answers him, and the Lord is patient with him. The Lord is long-suffering. Verse 10, he says, but the Lord said, now he's going to make a point here to Jonah. You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. God said, you had more pity on a plant And you didn't have nothing to do with it. You didn't cultivate it. You didn't fertilize it. You didn't watch over it and nurture it and protect it. In verse 11, God goes on and he says this. He says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. You know what God said to him? He says, Jonah, you had more pity on a plant than you did the human beings in Nineveh. Is that right? Does that sound good? Does that sound like a servant of mine? Does that sound like a representative of God Almighty? No. You see, the thing about it was, you look at the character traits and the attributes that Jonah had. Jonah wanted him dead. Jonah didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Jonah didn't even want to go to that place. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that love? Is that what love looks like? Well, let me give you a little quick contrast real quick. We know what love is because it's defined for us over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, here's what you get. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, does that sound like what Jonah was doing to the people of Nineveh? Absolutely not. It was completely opposite of what we read there. And he is mad. Now, folks, I believe with all of my heart that God teaches us lessons in every walk and in every aspect of life and in every single thing that we do. We certainly would like our way. But you know what? We got to yield to God's way. Even if it means going somewhere where we have trouble and some issues. First of all, if you have a prejudice towards somebody else, that is something that God needs to deal with you at this particular point and moment. Not just to put you in the midst of a service, but it's, look, human beings, living, breathing human beings, every last one of them, I don't care whether you're white, black, Caucasian, Indian, Eskimo, blue, green, whatever, God went to the cross, took his only son Jesus to the cross for the sins of every living human being. And he shed his blood for every living human being. And as his servants, he didn't just call us around the table to enjoy the good food. He called us to go out into the field. Remember, the field is ripe into harvest, but the laborers are few. It seems God's children all want to sit around his table, but no one wants to work in his field. Let me tell you something. When you work in the field, it's hard work. It's hot, sweaty work. It's grueling work. It's not always fun work. But it's necessary work. God has called us to reach people. All people. Every last one of them. What's in your heart? And listen, when God does, are you going to be a Jonah? Are you going to draw that line in the sand and say, God, I have the right to be prejudiced. God, I have the right to think the way I am. God, I have the right not to do what you tell me to do. Let me say, if that's you, and I guarantee you, we've got some of us in here that are like that. You better be careful. You better be extremely careful. Because God is old-fashioned and new fashion. But let me tell you how old fashioned work. You know what the old boy says? Yeah, I still remember a time of sitting back and saying, my dad said this is the way it is. And I said, I don't see it that way. And 3 days later, when the swelling went down, I saw it his way. Yeah, when the board of education to the seat of the learning. God has a board of education, and he will apply it to the seat of your learning. The same God that is love, the same God that wraps his arms around you, the same God that will take care of you is the same God that will paddle your behind to keep you in line. And some of you know that. Some of you have been that person. Some of you right now are in the midst of being the most stubborn person in the world. And let me just give you this as a tidbit. It is your will against God's, and He will win. You hear me? God's going to win. One way or the other, He will win. What is our attitude? What is our heart? See, Jonah had a problem. The problem was his lack of love. And his lack of love caused him to be disobedient to what God had called him to do. Now, is your lack of love causing you to be disobedient to what God is calling you to do? We don't always like to do what God calls us to do we? It's not always fun and games. At times it's toil. At times it's work. At times it's costly. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I just look at that. To me, this is a passage of Scripture that amazes me beyond all measure. When you look at it and when you compare it. Because God said, Jonah, I want you to go here and preach to these people. Jonah didn't like him, didn't want to go, probably didn't do his best. And the whole town repented. And then I think about guys like Jeremiah who were there for all that had the right heart and the right reason. And he was preaching repentance and preached all that time and was just stonewalled every time he turned around. Yeah, it makes you think, God, why didn't you put Jeremiah over in Nineveh? And as far as Jonah, what you could have just left him in the belly of the fish. Because he's not a great example, is he? And yet God used him. Why? Because God had a plan. He had a plan to save Nineveh, but he also had a plan to teach Jonah some lessons. Now, you want me to tell you what's really, really interesting about this? And maybe it's something that you haven't thought about. I want you to go to the last verse of chapter 4. God says to him, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. What happened after that? What did Jonah do after that? What's that? Well, here's the bottom line. You ready for the bottom line? We don't know. We don't know if Jonah all of a sudden went, oh, I see God. We don't know that he did. We don't know that he didn't sit back and say, I'm going to be angry even unto death. I'm going to push this bad position. We don't know the outcome with Jonah, but we do know what the outcome was of the city of Nineveh. And that is exactly why God sent Jonah to Nineveh. I don't know. We're going to have to find out someday. You know what? Jonah could have gone off and died a miserable man outside of God's will after this. You know, Jonah could have gotten along with the program and said, I get it, God. I understand. I see. But we don't know because it doesn't tell us, does it? It doesn't tell us what happened afterwards. So here's the question. In your story, how's it going to end? You know, every one of us, I mean, like I say, we have to be honest. And if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. We've all been here before. We've all been Jonah in this story. We've all been at that situation, and we've all been like, God, I don't like this. This is not my way. I don't want it. and we've all pouted like Jonah. We're good pouters, aren't we? You can tell, too, because some of us are arm pouters. We pout when God doesn't do it our way. We don't know what the outcome is. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be with you. But one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to continue to be miserable like Jonah, or you are going to be delivered like Nineveh. And the choice belongs to you. You have to choose. You choose whether or not you're going to go forward. Like I said, there's tons of things that aren't part of what you would call glorious in the ministry. There are things that are not fun. There are things that are a lot more. Listen, let me tell you what's fun. What's fun is seeing somebody come to Jesus. What's fun is a baptism. What's fun is a communion. What's fun is fellowship. What's not fun is having to bury loved ones. What's not fun is having to be the one to correct and to go to people and say, this is what's going on. What's not fun is that when a tragedy occurs, being there in the middle to help provide that comfort. And at times when you sit back and say, Lord, I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, but you're God and I'm not. Those aren't the fun things. And you know what? Somebody's got to do the things that aren't fun. But it depends on whether or not God's called you to do that. You see, God could have called somebody else to Nineveh. He could have called somebody who loved Nineveh. He could have called somebody and had them preach that message, and they would be cheering and hooting and hollering and running around. But no, Jonah had an issue, and God loved him enough that he wanted to bring it to light. Now, here's what I can make you a promise about. All of us have some issues, don't we? And some of them God is bringing to light, and he's wanting to deliver you from them. But what are you going to do? Some of y'all are going to sit here today, or some of y'all are going to watch this, and you're going to go, I shall not be moved. And you're going to keep on going down that road. My prayer is that you will look and hear what the Lord says in his long-suffering, his gracious, and his kindness. He looks at you and says, how about letting the prejudice go? How about being happy that you have been an instrument in my hand in the life of somebody else? One of two things today. It's either, Lord, I'm coming, or, and let me tell you, there's enough of this in the world right now. It is time to see what God has in store. Some of you are riding around in the belly of a fish, and you best be getting on your knees, because God's getting your attention. And I loved it. When Jonah was in the fish's belly, he was sitting there going, oh, Lord, you're good. Oh, God, you're good. And, oh, Lord, I love you. God said, why didn't you do what I told you to do? See, if you would have done what I told you to do, I wouldn't have to give you a ride back to where you need to be in the belly of this fish. Some of us riding around in fish's bellies, crying out to God, Lord, deliver. And you caused yourself to be there. Because your actions, your thoughts, and your deeds. Now, God's going to get you to Nineveh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did Jonah have a choice? Did Jonah say, well, whenever you get your act together, you come on back to Nineveh? No, no, no. He said, now, I told you. See, there's a difference between a suggestion and a request. Amen? I learned that growing up, too. And I think the terminology was, no, 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 son, you don't get it. I'm not asking you to do this. You didn't have to finish the sentence. You knew exactly what that meant. I'm telling you to do this. And by the way, there's nobody who can do it better than you if God's called you to do it. Plain and simple. Where are we on the Jonah scale today? Are we angry with God? Are we carrying prejudice around for something or some people? God's not going to bless that. Has God sent you on a journey or on a mission, and yet you have decided to go the wrong way? Has he sent you to Nineveh and you're heading toward Tarshish? Be careful, because he's going to have you picked up somewhere along the way. Because if he's sending you, you're going to arrive. Are you giving all of your heart to what God has called you to do when it comes down to preaching his word? When it comes down to loving people, you know what it's really all about for us? It's about preaching the Lord and teaching them to serve him. That's what church is about. Yet we fellowship. Boy, it's great to come together. I saw a thing on social media that I loved. It says, if I'm a Christian, it was a two pictures, and it says, if I'm a Christian, what the statement, if I'm a Christian but I don't need the church, look like. And it showed this pack of zebras over here in the back, all huddled up together, but it showed a lion chasing down the one that had gotten away from the group. And remember the caption. The caption was, if I'm a Christian but I don't need the church, was a photo. There it is. We need each other. We need each other's encouragement and strength. But by the way, when we do, let's make sure that we're strengthening and encouraging one another. The world cuts us down, doesn't it? You get enough of that. Being with God's people should be the safest, most comfortable place that there is. And unfortunately, in this thing called church, it's not. It's where people are talked about. It's where they're laughed at. It's where they're made fun of. It's where, you know, weaknesses are exploited. It's where information that was shared is, it turns out, being used against them. And folks, that's not what God intended for the church. And where does it all begin? It all begins right here with me. It all begins with you. What do we choose to be? Do we choose to be a Jonah? Or do we choose to be one of God's faithful servants that no matter what, we're going to do what God's called us to do? What do you think? First of all, I want to say to you that without Christ, you ain't got a prayer. I mean, you know, if you drew your last breath at this very moment, you're going to spend eternity in hell forever and ever, the place that burns with fire and brimstone, that there's torment. It's right here. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but it's time to make a choice. It's time to, as a country folks say, cut bait or fish. You're either going to follow him or you're not. It's time for you to either step up and be what God wants you to be and stop playing around in the shadows and be what it is that God wants you to be, Christian person. When the world's going to hate me? Well, yeah, they are. They're going to make fun of me. Yep, they will. They're going to come at me. Yep, they are. But you're in good company, because isn't that what they did with Jesus and his disciples? You know, I'm going to be with him a lot longer than I'm going to be with y'all. And I look real forward and hopefully hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. It's about time we got a little bit of holy, I don't care what everybody else thinks, and start getting a holy, I care what God thinks and what God says. Do we need to give some things back to him today? Have you trusted him today? Have you given him your heart? Have you confessed your sin? I'm not asking if you went through some sort of process or something. I'm asking if you're walking with him. Why am I asking that? Because there's a lot of people who think that they filled out the card, they prayed with the preacher or whatever, and that made them saved, and that's done. They can go on with life and do whatever they want to do. That's not true. Because the Lord said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Are you walking with him? Is he part of your daily life? Is he part of your prayer life? Are you in the Word? Are you where you're supposed to be? Or is church a thing that you come to, as opposed to something that you are? See, church is about who you are, not where you go. What do we need to give to Christ? You know what? That hurts toes. Hurts my toes. Because sometimes we can be so busy serving him that we have completely left out worshiping him. That's not a good place to be. That's not a fulfilling place to be. And oh, by the way, if you're busy worshiping him, the service will take care of itself. There'll be enough time. What decisions are on your heart today? I'm going to ask David, if he would, to come, and our musicians to come as we enter our time of invitation. And I've said this so many times. It's not my invitation. It's God's invitation for you to act on what he has placed and put in your heart today. What has he said to you? Where has he brought you? Are there some things you need to give to him at either the altar of your life or the altar of this church? Either one. Maybe you're here today and you don't know him. You know, I want you to stop whatever you're doing right now. I don't even want to wait until we sing a hymn, but simply call on the Lord and cry out to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need You as my Savior. Save my soul. And listen, if you did that, even in that kind of prayer, it's not flowery. Lord, I need help. Sometimes that's my prayer. It's like, Lord, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. That's a good prayer. God hears it. He understands my redneck Spanglish or whatever you want to call it. He understands it. But listen, if you've made that decision, please let us know. If you're part of our online audience, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to get you some material to help you get on your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've just embarrassed. Listen, I've read this passage before and been embarrassed. You know, you just kind of want to hang your head in the presence of the Father because we've been too much like Jonah. I'm like, Lord, I surrender. Will You do that today, that you can walk out of here like we talked about last Sunday, changed and different than when you entered in? As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, if you need me, I'm here. Whatever you need, do business with God right now. God, can you truly sing that from your heart? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. How true that is. Listen, don't leave this place the same way you came in. I'm going to ask our ushers, if they would at this time, make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we praise You today and thank You for Your goodness and Your provision in our lives. And Lord, for this opportunity to worship You by returning to You that portion that You truly have richly blessed us with. Lord, as we do, we help us to always understand that our giving to You is an act of worship. So help us, Father, to be faithful in our worship, to be faithful in our tithe, that Your work may go on and that we might be blessed indeed according to Your word. So, Lord, bless the tithe, the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, let me just give you a couple quick things, and then then we'll get you out of here. Just as far as those that are actually celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week, Annette Vernon's birthday is today. This coming week on Thursday, Debbie McDonald will have a birthday, and Mark Vernon will be on Friday, and Richard's same day as yours. We'll pray for you, Richard. So Richard Brackett's birthday is today as well. He and Debbie celebrate birthdays today. So be sure to give them a hug and a $50 bill. Would that be good? You know, hundreds, fifties, that'll work out as well. But folks, if you send a text message, if you make a call, whatever it is, let these folks know how much it that they mean to you. Also, don't forget, today is Lindsay and Chris Harrell's anniversary. Another milestone, so we want to wish them a happy anniversary as well. As far as what's going on around here today, to the best of my knowledge at this point, we need to remember that we've got choir practice at 5 o'clock. We usually have choir practice at 5 o'clock p.m. We're not this evening because we're working David to death today. He taught Sunday school this morning. He did music today. He's got Bible study tonight. And Brad and Lachelle don't have COVID, but they have been exposed. So they feel it's just, you know, better to set out that time frame rather than expose the choir and the church to COVID. So we appreciate that. We love them for that. David was pinch hitting today. So no choir practice this evening. Mark your calendars for September 25th. That is the ladies' tea from 3 to 5. If you have any information or need any information on that, I think you can talk to Carol or Mari, right? Either Carol Boone or Mari can get you fixed up with information on that. Also on September the 11th, our churchwide picnic will be at 1 o'clock p.m. at Triad Park. We've got Triad Park. You know, sometimes we bounce back and forth between there and here, but we will be at Triad Park September the 11th at 1 p.m. And then, guys, for those of you who like to eat a late breakfast, David and I call it brunch. There is a men's breakfast that happens on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can drop in and keep the guys in line. I think it means a lot to them just to have that opportunity to get together. The reason I called it brunch is at 10 o'clock. So I guess if you want breakfast, you can get that. If you want lunch, you can get that, but you can still sleep in a little bit. But that's 10 o'clock every Wednesday. So mark your calendars and be a part of that. One quick thing, and then I'm going to get David to see us off in prayer. Immediately after David closes in prayer, those that are interested in being a part of our security team or are a part of our security team, could you meet with Fred and Jana in room 116 next door just for a minute? We just need to get contact information from you guys. So those that are interested in or are part of security, a very quick information gathering meeting in room 116 as soon as David gets done praying, which is right now. He's getting ready to come pray. Love you guys.
And while you're contacting folks, telling them happy birthday, and if you speak to Mark and Annette Vernon, let them know you're praying for Mark's dad. Mark's dad's very seriously ill in the hospital. Let him know you're praying for him. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we love you and we know you love us, and we just thank you for the opportunities you give us to worship. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us as we go from this place today, that you will keep us safe, and help us to share the love of Jesus with everyone we come in contact with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.